Today on the dark side of the news, from the dark side of Inside the R. Kelly Trial, blackmail, herpes, and enablers. A woman rams a parked car, then shoots and kills a man who came to her aid. Josh Duggar's child porn case is straightforward, prosecution says amid dispute over evidence. All of that and more today on the dark side of...
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the dark side of...
Now, usually I don't do this, but,
And, yeah, here we go, kids.
Now, I'm not trying to be rude, but hey,
we are entering the trial time now for R. Kelly. We'll be getting into a lot of this over the coming weeks. I guess, you know, if you've been waiting for it, the countdown is out. You can open up that end of your calendar and have that last piece of chocolate and be all excited here because it's getting underway. Tony and Carol with you on the dark side of the news episode here on a dark side of. If you like the program, be sure to check out our Patreon page and support us. Get advanced episodes, all commercial free. It's right over there at patreon.com. Just search for Dark Side of. So here we go. You all set for R?
Well, and you know, this could go on for a while because I think this trial that's going on today, which is August 19th, 2021, is in New York. And then he has charges against him in Illinois.
Yeah.
So it could be going on a long time.
Yeah.
Because he could be found guilty and still have to face trial. Now, sometimes when someone's found guilty, they kind of lay off of that.
Mm-hmm.
But if he got off, he definitely has got another case he's got to go face.
This is going to be interesting to see if he can continue his streak, really, of getting off on these cases. And I guess not making a pun, but again, getting that, I mean, that is the right term for use for talking about her. You know, and it's we're gonna say the initial story here inside the R. Kelly trial, blackmail, herpes, and enablers, from Yahoo News. R. Kelly choked a teen girl until she passed out and then spit on her when she regained consciousness, according to the first witness testimony at the singer's federal racketeering trial on Wednesday. After several long delays and snags imposed by the global pandemic, prosecutors laid out their extensive case against Robert Sylvester Kelly in Brooklyn federal court. They argued the Grammy-winning singer and producer was for decades at the helm of a criminal enterprise funded in part by his legit music ventures and devoted to horrific sexual deviancy. As insurance and a way to make sure these women wouldn't talk, Kelly created and collected collateral. He made them create embarrassing videos and false letters. And Assistant United States Attorney Maria Cruz Mendez said he kept it in his back pocket in case anyone tried to accuse him of anything. Kelly, 54, charged in New York with an array of federal charges, including racketeering based on sexual exploitation of children, kidnapping, and forced labor. He's also charged with violations of the Mann Act, which bars the transportation of people across state lines for sex. The charges stem from alleged abuse against at least six women and girls, four of whom were allegedly minors when Kelly first slept with them. At least two also contracted herpes from the singer after he knowingly exposed them to the disease, according to prosecutors, who said Wednesday that most of the women were expected to testify in the coming weeks. The case is about a predator, Cruz Mendez said, a man who, for decades, who uses fame, his popularity, and a network of people at his disposal to target and groom girls, boys, and women for his own sexual gratification. Using his money, clout, and public persona to hide his crimes in plain sight, she added, while Kelly dressed in a gray suit, sunglasses, was taking notes at the defense table. The first accuser to testify, Yohanda Pace, described to jurors a 6-month relationship she had with Kelly when she was 16 years old. The relationship, which mostly consisted of sexual encounters at his Olympia Fields mansion, ended in January 2010 after the pair got into an argument. And Kelly got so angry, he attacked her, she said. He slapped me and he choked me until I passed out, Pace said on Wednesday, adding that when she regained consciousness, Kelly spit on my face and told me to put my head down in shame. She did as she was told, Pace told jurors. Afterwards, she continued, Kelly forced Pace to perform oral sex, and she cleaned herself up with a blue Aeropostale T-shirt that she later turned over to authorities. Prosecutors showed the T-shirt in court on Wednesday, stating it had Kelly's DNA on it. Months earlier, she said, she first met Kelly in 2008 outside a Chicago courtroom, where he was on trial for other child pornography charges. I said I was a fan, and he said, thank you for the support, I told him. My birthday was coming up, and he said, happy early birthday. Pace, who is now 28 years old and 9 months pregnant, said Wednesday. Initially lying about her age, Pace said she first went to Kelly's house in May 2009 after one of his tour managers invited the teenager and her friend to a party there. There, Pace said she and Kelly exchanged numbers. A few days later, Pace said Kelly invited her back to his home, telling her to bring a bathing suit because he had an indoor pool. When she arrived, she changed into her suit and waited for the singer while he was finishing up a haircut upstairs. When he came down, Pace said Kelly sat in the lounge chair and told me to walk back and forth and take off a piece of clothing every time I walked back. I did as I was told, she said. Pace said soon after, Kelly started kissing, and eventually the singer performed oral sex on her. Afterward, Pace said she felt uncomfortable and told him I was 16 and showed him my state ID. She said Kelly responded by asking her, what is that supposed to mean? And then he told me to tell people that I was 19. I acted like I was 21. Kelly told her he wanted to train her to teach her how to give oral sex, Cruz Melendez said about her first meeting. Pace also said Wednesday that during her first sexual encounter, he told Kelly she was a virgin. And one of the singer's associates later gave her $50 in an envelope to get home. Prosecutors said that soon after the meeting, the relationship became controlling and the teen was forced to adhere to strict rules and provide collateral, culminating in the alleged choking incident. Kelly didn't want me in contact with anyone, Pace said when describing how the singer took her phone. Only had wanted me talking and walking with him. Kelly has pled not guilty on all charges against him. His defense team plans to argue to jurors that the accusers had consensual relationships with the singer and that the ones who testify are liars or who have an agenda. Don't assume everyone is telling the truth, defense attorney Nick Blank Becker said during her opening statements on Wednesday. She added that prosecutors and the witness they plan to put on the stand will attempt to put a square peg in a round hole. During Bleckner's marathon opener, Kelly appeared to nod off at least for 5 minutes. Brooklyn trial is just the first step in a series of potential criminal reckonings for Kelly, who's facing federal and state charges in Chicago and Minnesota. In a bare room courtroom occupied by only 12 jurors, no press, no public prosecutors, systematically argued that Kelly's success allowed him to lure, impression, and abuse. So that's kind of how things began in the trial number, one for this round of R. Kelly.
And the thing is that there are so many women who can say pretty much what she said happened to them too. Variations of that. But I like that whole defense of they're all lying. It's that whole Bill Cosby thing all over again. Oh, it's like is. All these women, you've got the power. You know, and if a girl is 16, number one, she thinks that she is 30 in her brain. She thinks she knows everything. I was a 16-year-old girl once.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, oh, my God, if that was one of my favorite singers and he said, come over to my house, I absolutely would have snuck out of my house and gone to his house.
Sure.
Absolutely. And I mean, and I think, you know, like the parents too, like kind of look the other way because Dark Alley.
Yeah.
You know, how awesome that he's interested in my daughter or her singing career or whatever.
Never mind all these trials and accusations that have been levied against him for years and years and years. Yeah, go ahead. Hang out with my 16-year-old daughter.
And you know, I think, I honest to God, I think that there are people who get so caught up in the fame of it.
Oh, that, yeah.
That they're like, oh, yeah, none of that shit could be true. I mean, my daughter can really sing, and R. Kelly's interested in her. I know she's only 15, but,
yeah,
you know, she's great. But I think there's so many people who would do the same thing. And then there are people who don't have a whole lot of money themselves. Mm-hmm. They could be really influenced by somebody like that. Not only is he famous, he's rich. He's got this entourage. He can take care of us.
Yeah.
They've got money.
They start, you know,
and I think a lot of those parents were actually good parents. I don't think, you know, it's all a bunch of parents who were like, I'm not going to notice that. I can look the other way. But I do think there was some of that going on.
There was a level of it with some of them. Yeah. There were some that were no, not at all. There were some that really they were kind of enjoying the spotlight themselves too. Like, look,
there's a lot of bad parents out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, will use their kids for their own gain.
Yeah. And just having the title of parent doesn't make you a good one. It just means you've procreated. It's like, good job. A lot of people can do that. There's more to the story. R. Kelly called me a silly bitch before choking me out, says the accuser. This is a very recent headline, and we'll go into this one again from Yahoo. The last time Yolanda Pace went to R. Kelly's house in 2010. The teenager got into an argument with the Grammy-winning star about who she was texting. I went to Rob's house, and Rob called me a silly bitch. Pace wrote in her journal entry about January 23rd, 2010 encounter, which the 28-year-old emotionally read out loud in court on Thursday. The same meeting, she told jurors a day earlier, ended with the R&B singer slapping her at least three times before putting his hands on her throat and choking her until she passed out. On Thursday, a journal entry added excruciating new details to the story of the first witness in federal racketeering and sex crimes trial against the disgraced music star. Rob slapped me three times. He said if I lied to him again, it's not going to be an open hand next time. He spit in my face and my mouth and choked me, Pace wrote back in 2010. After being physically attacked until she ultimately passed out, Pace wrote, she had oral sex with a then 43-year-old singer before ultimately leaving him for good. I became fed up and I went home and confessed, she read out loud in court before asking to take a break while clutching a used tissue. He was the godfather, R. Kelly's face, a reckoning in court. As the first accuser to take the stand, Pace is one of the at least five women who were expected to testify during proceedings against the once revered Grammy-winning singer and producer. Also among the horrifying testimony Thursday, R. Kelly recorded himself having sex with Pace in a home studio outside Chicago called The Cabin, during which he insisted she dress up as a young girl, she said. He wanted me to put my hair up in pigtails and dress like a Girl Scout, Pace told jurors. He recorded us having sexual intercourse. The woman previously told jurors that she had a six-month relationship with Kelly when she was 16. She said the relationship mostly consisted of sexual encounters at his Olympia Fields, Illinois mansion and quickly turned controlling after Kelly established a series of bizarre rules. I wasn't supposed to tell anyone I was spending time with him, Pace said on Wednesday when describing her relationship with the singer. I had to call him daddy. I had to wear baggy clothes. I couldn't leave where I was at without permission. I couldn't eat without permission. Couldn't even go to the bathroom without his permission. Lengths of time that it took for Kelly to grant permission was also based on his mood, Pace said. When I was on his good side, she said, getting permission took about 5 minutes. But when Pace landed on his bad side, she said it took Kelly hours and sometimes days to allow her to use the bathroom. The longest time to get permission to use a bathroom was 3 days, Pace told jurors on Thursday. The relationship between the teenager and Kelly ended in January 2010 after the pair got into a fateful argument and Kelly got so angry he attacked her, she said. Kelly, 54, is charged in New York with 9-count indictment, including racketeering based on sexual exploitation of children, kidnapping, and forced labor. He's also charged with violations of the Mann Act, which bars the transport of people across state lines for sex. So it just keeps digging. It just keeps getting worse of the shit that he was getting into with them.
And not that you couldn't fake a journal.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a lot of things people do when they're writing a journal, like they change the pen they're using or they doodle in the, mm-hmm. you know, it would be, it's not just sitting down and writing. It's like, it looks worn and like a journal, mm-hmm. especially when you're 16, because you write all the time in that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's interesting that she wrote that stuff in her journal. So I guess she's just a lying bitch. Because yeah. that seems to be the defense.
That just seems to be what they're saying. There's
video, obviously. If he videotaped them, it didn't say that it didn't exist still.
No.
It didn't say she said they were videotaped. It said R. Kelly videotaped the encounters.
Yeah.
So, and I know they have evidence like that because I watched the documentary.
Yeah. I mean, this is, I don't know. I mean, you watch this case and you go, I don't know how he would get away with this. But hey, Bill's out, so I guess anything's possible.
And it just is, you know, the guy is incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could have been just he could have had a long, long career.
Oh, sure. And you know what? Had he existed, he'd been an artist that had come out, you know, years before. We were talking about this, you know, earlier, and I think on another episode, where it was, you know, where the music and the culture in many ways, you know, all the songs that were out there, you know, she was just 17 or she's just 16 years old or this or that, in mainstream songs, you know, as recently as the early 80s, it was out there. I think he would still be getting away with it today if it were a different time and place. And thankfully, we're not in a culture anymore where it's like, yeah, statutory rape, and go ahead, do whatever you want with the teenage girls. Yeah, that's cool. Like, I don't know how we, I don't know. I don't understand it because I was a teenager in the 90s. So the idea of the culture being like cool with this idea is like, I'm just shocked by it. I know I just kind of just missed that era. But
and I can't really say the culture, like in this case, was cool with it.
Yeah.
Because this is pretty recent. Like, yeah. that, how old they say she was? 28 years old?
Now she is, but she was 16 or something.
Yeah. Like, but I said, you know, that was 12 years ago.
Yeah.
But I just think people who are really famous like that get a pass.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about that with Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
You know, people like that, they get.
And you know what?
A pass.
Society.
They got money.
Society did openly give him a pass until the early 2000s. I mean, it wasn't a secret about him and Aaliyah. And Aaliyah was super young too. And all that shit was out there. But everybody just kept kind of, oh, well, he makes really good music. And it's like, yeah, but, you know, she was like a really young girl. Yeah, but, you know, he makes good music. And just, you know, step to the this or that. It's like, step in the name of love. But he's like kind of into fucking kids. Like, it's a great song. I'm going to play it at the wedding. Like, what? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I do have difficulty in a lot of cases of like disconnecting the artist from the music. I mean, I can recognize the songs are, you know, are good and catchy, but it's nothing I'd like going to put back in my playlist, I guess.
Yeah. Like, I was listening to a Michael Jackson song the other day,
yeah.
and I was like, I really like his music.
Sure.
But then I was having the visions of him like at his Neverland place with all the little boys. And I'm like, that's.
Yeah. It takes you out of the mode of like reminiscing of like, you know, you're like, tell him that it's human nature. Like, oh, what the fuck is like, is this like a reference to kids or, you know, and it ruins it. Cause like for a moment you're like taken back to a shopping mall circa 1984. And then all of a sudden it's like, you're taken to, you know, a Dateline episode in his house where they're like, and the maid found.
I think
children.
It was an HBO documentary, Finding Neverland.
Exactly.
Like all of a sudden I'm like listening to Beat It. And I'm like,
ew. Like, oh God. Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah.
Let's.
And it's weird. At the same time, I'm like thinking about that, but I'm like, it's a really good song.
I know. And you can. There's nothing. You don't have to say that the music was bad. It's just because it wasn't. These were hit songs. They're very well written.
Good music.
They're, you know, but. The thing, you don't have to, though, you can choose to continue if you want to continue to listen to it or not. And I see nothing wrong if you want to listen to it yourself, but I don't think I'd be picking it out for like celebration songs at weddings anymore or things of that nature, just because it's like, it's tainted. It's, you know, it has its place in history, but it's tainted now. So I'd rather not, you know. I mean, nobody ever like, you know, I don't think there's any family members in like, you know, the Hitler family that's like, remember before he did all that horrible shit? I got this really beautiful Christmas card from him and he painted it himself when he was 12. Like, nobody's like, isn't that cute? It's like, but it was fucking Hitler that made it. I know. He was responsible for it. But look at the detail. Look at the reindeer he put on that card.
That's fine. It's Hitler. But it's
Hitler.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't care how cute the card is. Like, this is the cutest reindeer ever. But Hitler made it. It's like, but look at this.
So your point? It's adorable.
Exactly. It's kind of like, yeah, but it's Hitler. All right, let's continue on. Woman rams parked car, then shoots and kills man who came to her aid. Makes you want to pull over, doesn't it? Two people were killed and two others injured when a crash in a residential area of Texas led to a shooting, cops say. Police in San Antonio say a woman in her 20s or 30s crashed at a high rate of speed into a parked vehicle in a residential area around 10 p.m., according to a live stream by KABB. When the owner of the vehicle and two others came to check on the woman, she came out of her car and opened fire. The woman, who Officer Corey Schuler said was unprovoked, shot all three people. The owner of the vehicle, in his 50s, according to Schuler, died in an area hospital. A woman in her 50s and a teenage boy were hospitalized and listed in critical condition, Schuler said. As the shooting was taking place, a neighbor came to the aid of the victims and shot the driver multiple times. Police say she died at the scene, according to Schuler. The neighbor who shot and killed the woman is unlikely to face charges, the officer said. Police continue to investigate the crash and shootings Thursday morning. It's unclear why the initial shooting took place or if the woman was under the influence when she crashed her vehicle. It was a significant crash, Schuler said, enough that people came to the aid just to check that the driver was alive. The names of the man and the woman killed have not been publicly disclosed. So, I mean, there could be a lot of possibilities in that one, and she's dead. So, I don't know.
I think the toxicology report will have a lot of, will explain a lot.
But what if there's
nothing?
I have
the feeling she was probably high as a kite.
I would guess, but what if it shows there's
something
nothing?
Weird.
Could it also be something where, like, she had a gun in her vehicle, and she was so stunned by the accident that she thought, you know, she was just kind of out of her mind thinking she was being attacked.
She could have been schizophrenic.
Yeah. I mean, something could have made her start thinking she was being attacked, or I don't know. I mean, it's just so weird and random, and I don't know.
And people doing the right thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my God, we've got to help her. And then she guns a-blazing.
Yeah.
And kills somebody.
I know these, and I'm not trying to be a horrible person, but these are the things I think of. Like, if I'm like close to a wreck or something, like, do I want to be the one that goes over there, or do I want to wait a second? Or I can't say I've ever like really been in that situation, but I've been like past a wreck that happened not that long ago, and there's already like seven people on the scene. But you know, you think about these things today, and it sucks because this sort of shit happens.
All the time.
Yeah.
That said, I am still the person who would always pull over.
If I was the first person there, I would. Yeah. But if there's already like a string of people that can give their testimony, I'm out. I just, no.
Because I saw an accident once, and where I was like, I couldn't turn right around to get back to him because it was weird. Like, he hit this median and... like, he flew and all four of his tires, like, deflated. His hood pops open. Like, it was bad accident.
Yeah.
But to, in order to go around the block, like to get back to him, I had to go quite a ways. And so I'm like, okay, just go around the block, you know, go back and check on him. And by the time I got there, there were several people there.
Yeah.
And had I been in a situation where I could have pulled over right there, mm-hmm. I think I would have done it.
Sure.
But, you know, when I saw other people, I'm like, he's cool.
Yeah.
There's other people who are handling
it. Yeah. I mean, if you're first, you got to go check. I mean, or at least, you know, I mean, but again, I mean, how do you know? I mean, these people just saw this person crash. The last thing you think is they're going to come out guns blazing.
Right.
But, you know, God, now you do, you know.
It's so sad. That's so sad. So the person died being a good person.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, it's, yeah, it's fucked up. But speaking of fucked up.
Josh Duggar.
It's time for Josh Duggar, everybody. The Josh Duggar Report, brought to you by Chuck E. Cheese. Josh lives behind us. Josh Duggar, child porn case, is straightforward, the prosecution says, amid dispute over evidence. This comes to us from people. The prosecution and defense in Josh Duggar's child pornography case are currently engaged in a dispute over evidence ahead of Duggar's trial this fall. The investigation into Duggar 33 began when he allegedly downloaded computer files depicting child sex abuse on May 14th, 15th, and 16th of 2019. The files were initially flagged by a police detective, Amber Colmer, in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then allegedly traced to Duggar's IP address on a computer at his workplace at the time, the Wholesale Motor Cars dealership. The 19 Kids and Counting alum was then arrested this past April following the investigation on one count of receipt of child pornography and one count of possession of child pornography. He pled not guilty in court and is required to stay with third-party custodians, LeCount and Maria Reber, as he awaits his November 30th trial. In June, the prosecution on the case provided the defense with a screenshot reflecting that, in addition to Colmer, two other law enforcement officers had downloaded the child sex abuse material allegedly tied to Duggar per court documents obtained by People. Duggar's defense team subsequently requested that the government provide all discovery relating to the screenshot, all reports from the two other officers, and all reports from Colmer, among other things. Now, the government provided some relevant log files. They noted that the materials requested relating to the two other officers were extraneous and to the case and that therefore not discoverable. They added that they only provided the screenshot in the first place to simply make the defense aware that other officers not involved with this prosecution had downloaded child sex abuse material from the target IP. After additional back and forth, the defense filed an official motion on July 26, claiming that the prosecutors are refusing to turn over evidence that Duggar is legally and constitutionally entitled to. In response, the prosecution filed its response on August 9th, calling the case straightforward and accusing the defense of embarking on a fishing expedition for evidence that does not exist or is irrelevant to the case. The defendant's motion represents nothing more than a request to embark on an impermissible fishing expedition for evidence that is either non-existent, immaterial to his defense, or already produced, it said. According to the defendant's motion, it should be denied. According to the court docket viewed by People, there was a hearing held on the matter on Friday, but the judge has not yet entered a ruling. Lawyers for Duggar did not immediately respond to request for comment from People magazine. Duggar, who prosecutors believe had more than 200 images of child pornography on his computer, is no stranger to controversy. In 2015, a 2006 police report that surfaced indicated he was investigated for molesting five underage girls, including his sisters Jill Duggar and Jessa Duggar. They said at the time he was extremely sorry for the wrongdoing. That same year, Duggar revealed that he cheated on his wife, Anna Duggar, and admitted to struggling with an addiction to pornography after Gawker reported about his active accounts on Ashley Madison, a website that helps facilitate extramarital affairs. A source told People in May that Anna, who is currently pregnant with the pair's seventh child, is standing by her husband and thinks he's innocent. Amid his current controversy, TLC canceled the Duggar family's reality series Counting On. In their statement, the network said it feels it's important to give the Duggar family the opportunity to address their situation privately. The show premiered on TLC in 2015 and served as a spinoff to 19 Kids and Counting, which ran from 08 to 15. The spinoff was created amid the previous molestation controversy surrounding Duggar. Because who doesn't think that's a great theme for a television show? So there you go. That's the... the latest on all of that. They better be careful. The prosecution better be careful that they don't deny something to them that can be thrown back at them after the fact. If he's found guilty, that they're not going to be able to appeal it or get something thrown out because they go and say, no, that was discoverable. You should have given that to him. It wouldn't change anything, but had you just simply followed that, you know, the conviction could stand if that's what ends up happening.
Oh, absolutely. And so they really have to be careful, but they're experienced.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think everybody thinks they are.
But I would like, well, Bill Cosby.
Exactly.
I would like to think, you know, in a case like this, it seems it would be difficult for a lot of people to understand when you're talking about computer forensics and things they're finding.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's pretty indisputable because you can see when people, you know, there's a footprint for everything you do online.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. And if he had that weird tracker thing that he was supposed to have on his computer and he disabled that, and I don't know. People who know computer forensics, my guess is there's a pretty solid case there.
Yeah. Because let's hope. Let's hope.
That hard to figure out what you've been looking at on your computer.
I know.
Watch what you Google.
Yeah.
Just telling you.
Sure. Well, it's funny, you know, like when we put this show together, sometimes I'm looking up Josh Duggar stories, and you know, sometimes you'll like put like Josh Duggar and then like, you know, child porn case or something like that, and it's like, oh shoot, like that looks I don't want to like ever type that into my computer browser no matter what, you know. It's just like, you know, but you know, obviously it could be looked at as what you're doing, you're getting a news story. But yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so creepy thinking of this guy and just what he did, allegedly, and what he admitted doing, you know. And it's, there's still like all these, well, I don't know. I don't see him being that type of guy. Really? Because he's already admitted to being that type of guy. Maybe exactly. Very sorry for being that type of guy, but he's that type of guy. I think there's a lot of people out there who are so fucked in the head that have this child attraction shit going on, that are sorry that they have it, but they know that they have it and they're fucked up and they want to stay away. And there's plenty that don't. But it's fucked up, and it doesn't matter if he's sorry. He's that type of guy. And yeah, it's in his DNA to be able to be capable of doing that sort of shit. So there you go. That's the latest on Duggar, on R, and the crazy bitch who shot somebody on the road.
And I feel so bad for those people.
I know. It's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like our program, be sure to check out our Patreon page. Go to Dark Side of Pod or patreon.com and search Dark Side of, and you can join our Patreon page. $5 a month gets you access to advanced episodes of the show. You also get access to exclusive bonus episodes. You get access to it all being commercial free as well. So if you like the show, you want to binge away in advance, no ads, do check that out. Patreon.com and search Dark Side of Pod, and you will find us there. We do greatly appreciate that support. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side of Pod.